David, what if somebody says, Mains, you're one of those creative types, and I'm not?
I've actually had that said a lot of times. And I used to say, I'm not all that creative. Now I basically say, I think you're right. You're right about me anyway. I am a creative type. I enjoy that. I like thinking out of the box. And I don't know about you, but I take you at your word. You may not be a creative type. But I find that all this didn't depend on me. I like to unlock creative types. And I know there are creative types probably in every congregation. So the question is, how do I get to those creative people who can come up with the ideas I can't come up with? And then if I can tap into them and unlock their creativity, that's a beautiful thing. And I think that possibility is there as long as the pastor is open to doing things differently. There are some pastors who say, you only have four people have that prayer and they're going to four generations. I don't think so. You know, well, at that point, the game's over before you start. But if you're open to the ideas and you find the right people who can think of those ideas, in fact, if somebody listening now kind of says, that's pretty neat, well, then you can be somebody who sees those things come about just with the creativity that is in your church.
Did you ever try something creative that people just didn't like?
You ask dirty questions. Yeah, I have had, and I don't like to think about those. Actually, there were very few. I think whenever you try something different, you always have a risk factor that it may fail. And I had things that failed. There weren't a lot, but there were times, and when it's over, you say, I don't think I ever want to try that one again. At the same time, I like to concentrate on the things that did work, and again, I guess I can give all kinds of illustrations, and the kind of illustrations I give, I don't want to make extreme because I don't want people to think that it's always extreme. We had a congregation. It was about 500 people. We started from scratch, and we met in a Teamsters Union Hall in downtown Chicago. We started the church from scratch. I had been working at Moody Memorial Church. A new pastor came. He asked that the staff find other jobs so he could get his own staff. I think very highly of that gentleman. We're very close friends even today. But I asked him, I said, would you mind if somewhere else in the city I would start a church? And he was very supportive. Well, in all of this, we were meeting in this Teamsters Hall, which was a gorgeous auditorium and would seat probably up to 800 or 900 people. But we only had it Sunday morning. And we had a young congregation. I guess our average age was somewhere in the high 20s. So we had this young buck congregation who were all attracting their own type age group. And because they were young, we had a lot of weddings. And we would always have to go to different pastor friends and say, could we use your church to have a wedding? Because we couldn't have a wedding in the Union Hall because they had parties and everything else there. And we only had the guarantee that on Sunday morning they reserved it for us. And one time, one of the young couples said, you know, we would like to get married, but we really want to get married in the Union Hall because that's our church. And I said, well, I don't know how we can get another time. And they said, no, we want to get married in the morning service. And I said, well, you know, that's interesting. You want to get married as a part of the morning service. And they said, yeah, we think that would work. And I got thinking, you know, the average wedding I do, it probably the whole ceremony only takes about 25, 30 minutes at the most. And a morning service takes about an hour. I ought to be able to do a wedding in the morning service, and I ought to be able to get a sermon that ties to the whole marriage thing. And then in the middle of the service, we can have the wedding, and then I can have a renewal of vows for all the other couples who are there, for those people who are thinking. It turned out to be a wonderful service. You know, and I don't think the couple felt like they were being shortchanged. It's the only time we ever had a wedding in the morning service. But I had never heard of anybody having a wedding in the morning service before. It was beautiful. And that's one of those times when I say, yeah, it turned out real well. It could have turned out poorly, you know, but it didn't. It turned out very well.
Let me ask my question a different way. Is it possible to get into the habit of trying to be creative and go overboard?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have a tendency to try to outdo yourself. And you get a certain reputation for being creative. And then somebody comes and you didn't have a creative element and they thought, well, it's a can of worms. You know, I thought that was supposed to be so different. I've been there and done that before. That was always a danger. And I probably felt that pressure and I fought against it. And I actually came to the place where I said, you know, that's not a reputation we ask for. It's a reputation other people put on us. So there's no question that can be true. And I think that all of the new churches that are trying different things, they probably face that same pressure. It doesn't mean you stop being creative. It just means you have to check yourself and say, why am I doing this? If it's creativity for creativity's sake, then I think you're down the wrong path. But if it's creativity to be meaningful in what you're experiencing as a congregation, then I think you're all right.
So if the creativity sort of naturally arises as you're doing your service planning, because as we've talked before, we're talking about planning significantly in advance, at least a few weeks for each service. So did you form a creativity committee or a creative committee?
I don't think you know what the answer is, do you? What would you predict the answer would be?
Well, no, that would be ridiculous.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
In order to get the creativity, you would have to have a variety of people, and they would come to your mind as you were planning the service, and so you would tap them for their help. And it also spread the burden around and also kept all the ideas new and fresh.
Yeah, and it kept those overly creative people from thinking they were the kings of the world, you know. So, no, we never had a committee like that. You're exactly right. We basically utilize the people of the church, and if they happen to be creative, we utilize that creativity at that time, and then they would be out of circulation for the next couple of weeks and, you know, whatever. But what I found was there are people who are creative in all different ways. And my creativity may not be like somebody else's creativity. You know, somebody may be very creative in terms of making quilts. Well, that's not where, you know, I can't even sew a button on, much less make a quilt, you know. So there's all different kind of creativity. There's creativity in terms of culinary arts. And I'm not any good in the kitchen. But thank goodness for the ladies and the men who are, you know. So, yes, there wasn't a creativity committee. It's just that everything happened naturally, okay?
Over the 10 years you were pastoring in the inner city of Chicago, did you ever come up with any unwritten rules or guidelines regarding new and creative ideas?
We never wrote any down. I kind of had one in the back of my head, and I held to that pretty closely because I found sometimes when people got talking and the juices got going, they were wild ideas, and they really thought they were good. In fact, as a lot of ministers think I'm overly creative, I was actually the killjoy a lot of times. And I had a rule that it was never passed by the board, but it was in my head, and that was one creative element per service, no more than that, because I just felt like at a certain point, it was no longer creativity, but it was forcing the issue too much. So if that prayer was that morning, that was enough for that morning with those four people praying that God was immutable, and then we'd go with hymns and the rest that put the pieces together. So, and maybe that was a good rule. Maybe I think it was a good rule. And at least I would say this, Dean, it was a good rule for me because it meant that I didn't get out of hand as far as thinking these services were put together more for my reputation than the Lord's reputation. So that was my rule, one per service. And I would say there could be exceptions, maybe once every 5 years for two per service, but it had to be a pretty good idea for that to happen.
Well, that makes sense. Even though in the past podcasts we've talked about the necessity of looking at the service planning with a certain production concept or production value in your mind so that everything flows, a church service is not a performance.
It's not entertainment, right?
It's not entertainment. It's there for the purpose of worshiping God and instructing people in righteousness and all of the things that people need to feel connected to the body of Christ. I think your unwritten rule was a good one, one per service max, and probably not every week.
Yes, agreed.
And that way you maintain the element of surprise, which we've talked about.
That's
and
really
how
a good point.
That is.
Yeah, if it's there every week, it's no longer surprising.
Yeah, the creativity becomes a cliche of itself.
Yes.
Well, where do we go next?
Well, there are so many things we can talk about. I want to talk about one of those areas where people maybe come to church and they don't have an understanding, which is a key topic, and that is the kingdom of God. And to make sure there's understanding in regard to the kingdom of God, Ministers understand that, I think. But do the people understand it and how important it is?
Very good. You're listening to the SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com. We invite you to visit our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have lots of resources there for pastors. We exist to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons.
And we probably are talking Dean sermons/services right now.
That's right. We are. We're expanding our discussions to include, and we've talked about other subjects that we hope would be of help to pastors. So we invite you to use the resources that we have, and we invite you to join us again when next we meet on the podcast.